Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
You are listening to a Pleasure Podcast. For more from our Sex Podcast Collective, visit pleasurepodcasts.com.
If you're looking for a way to escape, I would recommend the Erotic Short Stories podcast. There's a new episode every Friday, and it is a place to indulge and unleash your wildest fantasies. Here's Mia to tell you what her show's all about.
If you enjoy losing yourself in stories of passion, lust, and erotica, then you'll love Erotic Short Stories. Tune in every Friday to hear me, Mia Hart, read you tales of lust, fantasy, and desire. My stories are pure escapism and a chance for you to indulge in some sensual erotica whenever you feel in the mood. Join me on Erotic Short Stories, available on all podcast platforms for your weekly fix.
I'm Holly Randall, and welcome to my podcast, Holly Randall Unfiltered. This is a show about sex, the adult industry, and the people in it. I'm a 21-year veteran of this fascinating little industry, and as the eldest child of the trailblazing erotic photographer Suze Randall, you could say I grew up in it. So forget everything you think you know about porn, because this show is going to change your mind. My guests are some of the biggest names in the industry, and we unabashedly reveal the real behind-the-scenes stories. The funny, the inspiring, the tragic, and the bizarre. Everyone has an opinion about sex work, but few people actually listen to the sex workers. So sit back and prepare yourself for a podcast, which is honest, raw, and unfiltered. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Holly Randall Unfiltered. After an hour of technical problems, I am so grateful to be recording here in my brand new studio on all new equipment, which is why it took us so long to set up. If you're a Patreon member, thank you so much for waiting for this live stream to go up. I promise you, we will have this nailed next time. My guest actually needs no introduction. She was on my show with Ryan Keeley at the very beginning of this podcast back in 2017. It was like one of my first episodes. She left the biz. She's back now. She's a good friend. I'm so excited to have her here. The one and only Jelena Jensen. Oh,
thank you. Hi, everyone. But hey, I think it's crazy that I'm the first one here at this new place.
Because, I know.
Like we were talking about earlier.
Yes.
I'm the first model that you ever shot on location by yourself.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So we share history for sure. Back when I was shooting for my mom and she was like slowly allowing me to, you know, like do more and more important shoots. I was still like a little in training. Jelena was my first shoot that I could go out on location, and that was very special because locations were expensive. You know, it was a big deal to pack up the van and take all the equipment.
It was and it was work. On location without your mom.
Yes.
The first time without her. Like, you had shot with her before, but not like that.
Like, just trusting me, like, all right, girl, you got this. and that was the first time we met.
I know, which I mentioned. So I have my planner from that year because I was still in college. That's it was so my last crazy. Semester of college. And so I got these August to August calendars. That's what students buy. But I kept track of everything, like my income, my mileage for my shoots and things. But the funny thing is I can see exactly when we shot. And our 20-year anniversary is coming up soon.
Wow.
So right here, I looked it up today. I actually thought of this when I was in the shower. I was thinking of you in the shower today.
Oh.
But it was March 11th, 2003.
Oh, my God.
You can see how much I got paid.
Oh, wow. Is that all we paid you? Sorry.
No.
But well, even, inflation, you know.
No, but even, like, you know, these days, most of the time, well, at least before I retired, like, if I shot with someone for a magazine, it wasn't guaranteed, so I wouldn't even get paid that day most of the time, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you have to wait to see if the magazine buys it. Back then, they were like, yeah, we're for sure going to buy you, you know, buy this set. But, yeah, so you and I met on March 11th, 2003. I first shot with your mom in February.
And was that a solo as well?
Yeah, I shot with your mom in the old studio. Oh there. I shot with your mom on February 11th.
Wow. That is amazing. And that was like last week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean. And I shot with Scott St. James my first shoot, which was on February 7th. So last week on Tuesday was my 20-year anniversary of being in front of the camera.
Oh, my God.
So I'm legit now.
Wow. Wow. So, so I mean, you know, we got into your history on the last episode. Yeah. I think we talked about like exactly how you got into the industry. So I don't think we need to get into all of that again. But you did leave us for a while.
I did.
Which was very sad. Cry. So tell us a little bit about like why you left. What did you do while you were gone? Yeah. Because how could there be life without porn? I mean, like, how could you exist out of this world? And yeah, why you're back.
So I actually planned on retiring first my 35th birthday. Mm-hmm. And I basically told everyone that I had shot with and all the companies I was shooting with that I was going to be leaving. And so – and my plan was on my 35th birthday because – and you know this from the old glamour days. The industry has changed a lot based on what girls look like and mm-hmm. what they're allowed to look like for shoots because mm-hmm. back then – your mom and people, Stephen Hicks, they would shoot with girls with tattoos, but they didn't want a lot of tattoos. There's no way they would have shot me with hair like this.
Nope.
Even nail colors. Like, I remember that we had to have French manicures or red or pink. Like, yep. I even showed up one time to shoot with Mark Litt, and I showed up with black nails, and he freaked out.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I just got sick of having to look a certain way for so long, like for everyone else. And I just wanted to be myself. And so I decided my 35th birthday, you know, had been at that point, gosh, what was that? Like almost 13 years in the business. And so I thought, okay, you know, because I never had plans to be in the business that long.
Mm-hmm.
Even I thought I was going to be in the business like a year to help pay off school.
Yeah. Classic
yeah,
story.
And then here I am 20 years later, made a career out of it. But yeah, I was going to retire and I dyed my hair and then I won Girls Way Girl of the Year. And I was like, oh, okay. And then I just told Girls Way, I'm not going to leave you guys hanging. So for that last year in 2017, I basically only I only shot for Girls Way.
Mm-hmm.
I did two hot and mean scenes for Browsers, which you shot my very last girl scene I ever shot before retiring. You shot me with Jenna Fox.
Oh, right. What was the scenario for that one?
It was in the bathtub. We were in a bathtub.
Oh, yeah. That was a really nice bathtub.
Yeah.
It was a pain in the ass to shoot in, though. Bathtub scenes are, like, the worst.
Yeah.
They're really...
Especially when you were tall like me. Like, yeah. They're not all made for my height. So it's, like, trying to pose and then you're slipping on the bottom of it.
Yeah.
You have to be lotioned so your skin doesn't look ashy. But then you're slipping everywhere.
Well, my favorite is... the last girl scene I did for Twisties was in a bathtub. And oil, too.
Yeah.
Oil each other up in a bathtub. And I was like...
It's a recipe for disaster.
It's a recipe for fucking disaster. I mean, like, thank God I have workers' comp because someone's going to break their fucking neck today. Didn't happen, thank God. But yeah, whenever I see bathtub scenes and then when I see oil in there, I'm like, oh.
Like, there's even been times where I've shot them where, you know, the fans watching the scene can't tell, but I have, like, a towel in the bottom of it with my knees on, you know, so I'm not sliding everywhere.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, so that was my last shoot. And then as a lot of, well, you know for sure, but a lot of people know, I was the Twisties interviewer for 12 years.
Yes.
And I continued to do those after I stopped shooting with you.
Right.
But then one day I walked in and just told you, I'm done.
Yeah.
And the biggest reason was because I just decided I needed something else to do after doing that for so long. And so an opportunity came up for me to co-own a fitness studio that I went to. And so I love the studio so much. I did everything that I could to keep it open. And
I remember when you started to get into that kind of fitness.
Yeah. So I became an instructor I started training to become a fitness instructor at the end of 2017, right before I retired. And then I retired except from doing the Twisties interviews. But then I became an owner like a month after when I told you I was done, because mm-hmm. it was just too hard for me to like have to be at my studio all the time, but then drive to set. And even though I wasn't there a lot, like a long time for the interviews, it still took time out of my day to drive across LA. Yeah. And, you know,
people don't understand
going to makeup. And then like, I actually spent more, I'd be on camera for like 10, 15 minutes, but it would be 6 hours of my day, you know?
And that's the thing about LA too. It takes so long to get anywhere. Like if I have lunch plans with someone and they want to have lunch in Hollywood or something like that, like that's literally my whole day.
Yeah. So, I owned a fitness studio, and when I started my OnlyFans again, I actually did a live in the beginning to explain to everyone. But if you were there and you've seen that, you already know this story. But I bought into this studio, and then not long after, my business partner totally screwed me over, and I had to get lawyers involved and everything. And so it was already very touchy for me. And then once she was removed, and I had the studio myself, I started growing it, and it was doing amazing, and I was about to expand. We were the highest rated studio in my area, and then the pandemic hit. And I ended up I took an out about 6 months after the pandemic hit because I had a commercial lease, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's one thing to have a business online, like my website that I ran for so many years. It's a whole nother story when you have a brick-and-mortar business. Mm-hmm. And so I had this big commercial lease, and, you know, LA County was the first ones, you know, fitness was like one of the first things to be shut down. And we were shut down for so long, for like a year and a half. No one could have classes indoors. I have asthma, so I was petrified to catch COVID at the time when it was really bad. I did catch it last year, but it was Omicron. It wasn't bad at all.
Yeah.
And I'm fine. I don't have long COVID. But before that, when no one knew what was going on, I didn't want to put myself in that position to risk my health or my life.
Right. And I would imagine also, too, with asthma, it's probably harder to wear a mask and work out.
Yes. So there was a period of time that first summer in 2020 when they allowed us in July to open our doors again. And I did. But, you know, we could only hold so many people in class. And then you're teaching online at the same time. And so it was – I'm wearing a mask. And then they even went so far as so we had to wear gloves, like latex gloves. So you're, like, sweating and your hands are, like, in these gloves. And I'm having to talk loud enough through the mask for people to hear me that are online watching the class. And not only that, but like you have to demo more when you're doing virtual classes than when you're doing a class in person, when you walk around and help people with their form and different things. So it was – I was open for like 2 weeks, and then it was just me and one of my employees, and then she ended up getting sick. It wasn't COVID, but she got sick, but we didn't know what it was, and so she couldn't be there. And I was literally doing everything myself, like having to clean everything myself, and I'm not supposed to be inhaling all that stuff with asthma. And so finally I closed my doors, and then they shut everyone down again anyway. And then I just told my landlord, like, I need out. And so thankfully he was able to give me an out. And then I was just really depressed because of everything I'd gone through, like not just the pandemic, but everything I went through with my business partner the year before. It was just like, it all drained me. And I already have anxiety and depression.
It must have just felt like the universe was, like, against you.
Yeah.
Like, you got into this place. You were finally, like, you know, getting into something. Because it's, like, that classic thing that people say. There's no other career you can do besides porn. Once you've done porn, there's no other possibility for you. Like, you could never move on and do something else.
I mean, it does make it difficult.
Yeah.
Like,
but you had pretty much achieved that.
Yeah.
You know, you had been able to find another industry.
And I didn't even use my, you know, my whole persona. Like, I kept it all separate.
Yeah.
But then, you know, there's people who, like, there was this one woman, she started, which I was so nice to, she was actually a photographer who was still learning stuff, but she only shot with natural light. And I helped her. I taught her how to do studio lighting, because for people watching who don't know my history, I went to film school, so I already know how to do a lot of stuff, you know, when it comes to photography and film. And I let her borrow my Hensel lights. I taught her how to do studio lighting. She was carrying her camera around with no lens cap in just some tote bag. I gave her an expensive camera bag that I barely ever used. Like, I did all these things. I was so nice to her. I taught her, like, Photoshop at my house, some tricks and stuff. And then she, for some reason, just started wondering, like, where my money came from. Mm. Because I wasn't really working. Because I wasn't paying mm-hmm. myself through my studio because mm-hmm. I didn't need to. And I was trying to build it up and expand. So I wasn't paying myself. Mm-hmm. I would get that if I was a single woman, but I'm married to a successful man who's always made more money than I even do. Mm-hmm. I don't know why, but she started digging on me. And then she found out about my whole porn past and then started spreading stuff to everybody that she knew. So, like, there were women who, like, I knew through other people that had never met me that would talk shit about me and everything. So it was a struggle.
So, like, what kind of things would she say?
Always call me by my stage name, even okay. though she'd never met me and stuff. Uh-huh. Just all kinds of, like, just – they would. It's very, like, catty and certain, you know.
Yeah.
So I – it was just funny because one of my instructors had a daughter who was on the cheer team, like competitive mm-hmm. cheer, not a high school team or anything. Mm-hmm. And a lot of these women were in that group. And so I told her one day, I was like, well, if they're going to talk shit about me, like, I might as well just get all glammed up and wear my skimpiest dress and show up to the next meet and introduce myself to all the husbands.
By the way, JelenaJensen.com.
Yeah.
Just wear, like, a fucking shirt with your website on it.
Yeah. And it's funny because I saw something recently. I forget where I saw it. It was probably on social media, someone talking about it. Well, another girl probably. But it's like, you know. Everyone doesn't want us to do this job. You know, they tell us, oh, we're too, like, especially me, because I graduated magna cum laude and all these things. And, you know, I've done well with my business that, you know, well, we shouldn't be in porn. But then it's like no one allows us to move on from it.
Oh, my God. I talk about this all the time. That's the most infuriating thing for me because, yeah, you'll hear a lot of that. Oh, like, oh, you know, you like get out of porn, get a real job, yeah. right? And then people get out of porn and they try to get a real job and nobody will let them.
Yeah.
Like you're a fucking criminal mm-hmm. or something like that. Or like you know, it's just crazy to me.
Yeah. And yet, meanwhile, they all watch it.
Yeah, I know.
Like.
It's like pointing the finger with one hand yeah. and beating off with the other.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, thankfully for me, I was like my business partner already knew. Mm-hmm. So she had no problems. My staff, like I didn't tell them all right away, but at the end, like my whole staff knew. Mm-hmm. So I had no problem. I wasn't hiding it from a bunch of people, but I, you know, it's wasn't something that I discussed with all my clients.
Of course.
Because it's, you know, it's and my past. Like who goes to a client and is like, oh, by the way, these are all the jobs I've had in my past.
Yeah. And that's the thing. And it didn't apply to like what you were doing. You were yeah. teaching a fitness studio. And look, I also like don't agree that somebody who was ever an adult like couldn't like take care of children. I'd like, yeah. I think that that's, you know, we're not sexual deviants and criminals and stuff like that. But okay, maybe like if you had to disclose that if you were going to work at a school or something like yeah. that, which I still like don't necessarily think that that's true. But, yeah. you know, maybe in that case you might want to disclose that just in case like some kid finds you in the internet or yeah. something. But like with a fitness studio, like why does that matter?
Yeah. So then after I'd lost my studio mm-hmm. and I was super depressed, I literally was like couch locked and I didn't go anywhere because of COVID and everything too. So I had one of my instructors still like teaching all the classes because I got to the point where I was like, I want to make sure that you're getting paid. So I'll just let you teach all the online classes. And so I would just like sit on the couch, make sure everything was running, which I do have to say, I was telling my husband, it's hilarious that my life went full circle. I had a content site with online videos for fitness and I was doing live virtual classes, which is webcamming.
Yeah.
That's so I'm like, true. I'm running a content site again. So I guess it's what I was meant to do.
Yes.
So then because of the pandemic, my good friend Maggie Green, who's another performer in the business, she lives in Florida. So whenever she comes to LA to shoot, she stays with me mm-hmm. so we can hang out. And I have dogs. She's just like me. No kids, mm-hmm. just dogs. So
amazing, huge tits. Yeah. I mean, let's not leave that part out.
And so she always stays with me. And so she came to the house and I was just telling her like how bummed I was that, you know, I was really proud that I bought my studio with my own savings, mm-hmm. not mine and my husband's savings. My money mm-hmm. from the adult business. And I lost it all. because I hadn't had my studio that long. So she was like, girl, you got to get your OnlyFans started up again. And she told me how much money she was making, because when I left the business, I had an OnlyFans and it was not making anywhere near what OnlyFans makes now.
Nope. I remember I signed up for OnlyFans when it started too, just because I didn't want someone else to take my name.
Yeah.
But I like literally didn't pay any attention and I made maybe $24 a month.
I made like $100 to $200 a month. I actually used it more like social media at the time because I had my website that I still put all my content on. So I use that more as a way to like see my day-to-day life and to see more personal stuff. But I still only made like, you know, $100, $200 a month. Nothing like what OnlyFans does now.
Right.
And so I started thinking about it and stuff and I was like, maybe I should get back into it. Like, why not? You know? Mm-hmm. And for me, it also, I didn't say earlier too, one of the things of what I got kind of sick of, why I quit as well in the business and retired, is because I got very pigeonholed in the MILF role, like the stepmom role.
Yeah.
And I don't mind like being a MILF, but because I only shoot girl for other companies, like I was always booked with young girls. And just once you start to get older, like I had nothing in common with them. Like I'd sit on set with them and like we had nothing to talk about. And I just kind of felt a little creeped out. Like I remember you saying, and it was the same model that I had worked with that made you feel the same way. But you had said that you would feel old when girls were in the business the year that you graduated high school.
Yeah.
The same girl who you first worked with like that, I worked with. And when we were on set before we started shooting our scene, she told me she was still in high school. Even though she was 18, she was still in high school. And I was like, oh my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I just didn't want to have to shoot like all that stuff anymore. Yeah. So that's why the last year, you know, and Girls Way, like, and I know there's a lot of fans, but like, I actually, now that I'm back to shooting Girl, which I just started 2 months ago, I waited for monkeypox and COVID and all that stuff to get under control.
Don't forget. Oh, wait. No, you weren't around. We had the ringworm.
No, I wasn't. Oh, that
was fun.
I didn't even know
because everybody
that.
Kept getting it. There was like one mystery porno couch out there that like had ringworm living on it. And people were getting it from, like, we all knew there was this one fucking couch. And everyone had their theory of, like, what couch that was. But, like, nobody knew for sure. And people just kept getting ringworm and then, like, giving it to each other. And then it was just, like, and it's so contagious. Mm-hmm. And it's contagious in a way, too, that I could get it just picking up clothes or, like, you know, like, throws or whatever that I bring on set bedding. So, yeah, that was the ringworm epidemic was – that was a lot of fun.
Yeah. So like all these things happened. Like I felt like COVID finally got under control and I was venturing out and going on vacation and seeing friends, and then monkeypox pops up and I was like, oh, maybe I'm not going to shoot Girl just yet.
Yeah.
So I waited, but my thing now is why I am not really shooting for other companies and stuff is because I don't want to be stuck shooting these things that make me feel kind of uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Like it's funny because fans would be like, oh, you were so into it. But it's like, no, I'm just a good actress.
Yeah.
So, you know, I – not to ruin anyone's fantasy, but it's
that's
just –
what we're here to do.
But
Holly Randall Unfiltered is here to ruin your porn fantasy. That is literally the mission of my show. Dispel all the myths, ruin your fantasy. That's what we're here for.
Yeah.
Sorry.
This is where you get the truth.
It's truth. It's ugly.
But, yeah, so, like, now that I'm shooting Girl again, like, even when I posted on my Twitter asking fans, like – because there's a lot of new girls in the business that I don't know. But I, you know, ones that have big natural boobs, like that's what my fans like, obviously, because I have them. So, you know, I was asking for like, who do you guys want to see me shoot with? But I was very clear in saying I want to shoot with women in their 30s, 40s, you know, 50s. Like I'm 41. I want to shoot with women around my own age, like women.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to enjoy it more. And I just also look at it like, don't you want to get like my best performance, you know, and like me really be into the scene than, you know, me shooting with someone that like I'm creeped out with, like the storyline or whatever, you know, like, so. And I don't know if part of it is too, a lot of my friends have kids now and stuff, and I'm just like, oh
yeah
I don't want to be like the creepy stepmom. So so that was like my whole return, and I am only shooting for my fan sites. I don't know if I'll work for other companies right now or not. I just have to kind of play it by ear and see. But the nice thing, that's what I like. I think a lot of us girls, like I know fans sometimes complain about a lot of us girls not wanting to do anything but our own content now. But a lot of people also have to realize I come from that. Like I ran my own site myself for mm-hmm. so long. And that was the majority of my, like, my income and stuff. Yeah. Like, I've always been in control of my career. I'm not, like, the typical porn star. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I've done things my own way. And, I mean, thankfully I'm in a position and stuff where I don't need – I get that some, you know, performers in the business have to work for other companies. Mm-hmm. I don't have to. So, I mean, I really got back into to make up the money that I lost.
Yeah.
You know, to replenish my savings.
Yeah.
So I don't need it. Like, I don't need to shoot to survive day to day.
Right.
So I'm thankfully in that position. And so I can pick and choose, you know. So but I've always kind of been like that. Like, I want to be in charge of my career and work for who I want to or with who I want to.
Yeah.
And so, you know, a lot of people say, oh, it's great that OnlyFans is here now. Girls have, like, the power in their hands. But I kind of always already had that.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why it's so appealing to me. It's like, oh, I can just start my OnlyFans and then I can just shoot what I want to shoot and with who I want to shoot with. Yeah. And that's what's fun is, like, I've been getting to shoot now with women in the business that are either favorites of mine
mm-hmm.
or that I've never shot with before.
Yeah.
You know, because no one booked us together.
Right.
Especially women my own age. I got stuck shooting with so many young girls.
Yeah.
I never got to work with people my own age. You know?
Yeah, no, I understand. All right, guys, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to talk about what's different in the industry now versus when she left, and what are Jelena's goals for the future? All right, hang tight. We'll be right back. All right, everybody, we are back. So, I mean, the industry has changed dramatically, obviously. I always talk about big industry changes because I've been in it for so long, but you had that unique perspective of leaving for a while and then coming back. So what do you see as some of the biggest changes? And maybe is there some good and some bad, or is it all good?
Well, I can only talk on or speak on what I have been kind of exposed to with, like, the people I've shot mm-hmm. with. I mean, even though I'm back, I'm still not in the thick of it. You know, mm-hmm. I'm not going to sets and working with everybody. Mm-hmm. Like, literally, Dean Capture shoots almost all my stuff except for my self-shot stuff.
Yeah, and so same with
me. He's literally, yeah.
Him and my husband are the only people that I let shoot me.
Yeah, and so I, for me, it's like I'm not exposed to a lot. You know, like, Dean's really, like, my mm-hmm. info person, and I've known him for so long. Like, I was the fifth Twisties tree ever. That's when I first met him. So he shot me back in 2005 for the first time. So I've known Dean a long time, too.
We are so old.
We're old.
We are so old.
We're gilfs in this business. Yeah, but no, I even told you one time when I first saw your that you were shooting for your OnlyFans when I text you, and I was like, it makes me feel better because I'm not the only one still here out of our group of friends from back in the day, like our little glamour group. Like, no one is around.
I know.
It's just me and you.
That's so true. And then I, like, spent my life saying I would never get naked in front of a camera. And then
I've learned that. Never say never. Yeah, never say never. You never know what's going to happen.
I mean, I'm still saying that I'll never shoot porn, but I don't know. Maybe I should also not say that. 10 years later, I'm like doing a fucking 10 guy blow bang. I'm like, I join my OnlyFans.
Hey, if they pay enough for it.
I mean, I'd be really good at it. Just saying.
I love it. I think it's just very different in the sense of, like, how many performers there are.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the whole, like, tattoos and things, like, is so different.
Because before it was like – so it's so funny because I got sent a girl from Mark Spiegler. Like, this was actually, like, maybe a year ago. And the big headline was no tattoos.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow. Because back in the day, it was like, if you had tattoos, like, it was really hard for you to get work. Now just everyone has tattoos. So I think, like, brands have just accepted it and it's whatever. But the fact that this girl had no tattoos, that was, like, the selling point.
Yeah.
Like, that – it was that big of a deal.
Yeah. And that's actually, like, when I – like, I've wanted to get tattoos for a long time. Like, out of all my siblings, like, I'm the oldest. And, like, they all had tattoos way before me, and I was the last one to get tattooed. And it was me waiting so long because I got so much work back then because I had no tattoos. Being all natural, no tattoos, like, you can fit any role. That's what I would tell people, you know? And, I mean, and going off that, too, one thing I noticed that is a little upsetting to me is just, like, back in the day, I worked for Playboy a lot. I was a Playboy model and I worked on a lot of Playboy TV shows. And there was a point where they basically pushed me out because I was too hardcore for them, even though I wasn't even shooting hardcore. And now it's...
I know exactly what you're talking about.
And now I'm like, wow, every porn star who like does DP and everything can be a Playboy model. And I was like so shunned back in the day for spreading, opening my legs, doing penthouse style. I wasn't even shooting girl.
Yeah. I was shunned as a photographer for having shot porn.
Yeah.
And then shooting. I actually had an incident once where I shot a Playboy Playmate. And the shoot went great. Everything came out fine. And, you know, of course, like, I don't talk about porn in front of, like, people that I know or not. Like, I know they don't want to hear about it. Mm-hmm. So if I had – I shot a lot of fashion models and stuff like that and quasi-celebrities sometimes. And, yeah, and this girl was a Playmate. And so I, like, never mentioned it. You know, we never talked about it. It was just super professional. And she found out later that I – what I did. And she actually contacted Playboy. And she specifically told them – she said – please don't ever book me with Holly Randall again. It's not good for my career. She said, to be clear, she was super professional. The day went great. It's nothing personal against her. I enjoyed working with her, but it's not good for my career.
Yeah, it's the stigma.
I was like, wow.
What stigma?
Wow.
Yeah. No, it's messed up.
Though I appreciate that she went out of her way to make sure that they knew that, like, I didn't actually do anything inappropriate, but the fact that, like, my name was
associated just because it was attached.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so that's the only thing, like, now, like, I see. Like, I have a good friend who handles a lot of stuff for Playboy who's not in front of the camera.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I just see all her posts and stuff, and I'm like, wow. Like, I don't know. I sound like a bitter old woman now, but.
It's okay. You're in good company. I'm also a bitter old woman.
I feel like a bitter old woman, but, like, you know, I just feel like I was so screwed over with so many – like, I've had a successful career in this business, but there are so many things that happened. Like, you, that first shoot we did together was supposed to be my penthouse layout.
Yes.
And then that's when the magazine went bankrupt, and then they didn't buy the set after we had shot it.
I remember being so devastated about that.
I was, too.
I was like – it was a beautiful shoot. Like, literally, there was nothing – like, I was like, this looks – and they didn't – I was so sad. Because it meant a lot to be in penthouse.
Yeah. And so, and that was my thing is your mom, like she shot me the one time and said, I'm booking you next month. You're going to be my daughter's first penthouse layout. You're my first daughter, my daughter's first penthouse pet layout. And so I was excited, brand new in the business. I'm going to get to be a pet. And then I actually didn't get made a pet. Well, and here's what's messed up though about this whole thing. In 2005, I was on a big penthouse shoot with Brett Barony for 2 days. And I – and it's funny because, like, everything full circle, like, later. But Stills by Ellen, who shot a lot of the My Girl's Way features and all my content there. That was his first adult shoot he'd ever been on.
Oh, wow.
Was with me for Penthouse. But because I was working at Playboy so much and it was already hard for me to get work there because of – I was shooting more explicit stuff than Playboy. I actually had to ask them not to make me a pet in 2005 so I wouldn't lose all my work at Playboy.
Wow.
And that's why I'm saying, like, I'm very bitter about stuff because I turned down things to keep my job at Playboy. And then now I see all these girls doing way worse than I ever did, even to this day doing worse than I've ever did.
Yeah.
And they're all made, you know, they get these titles and stuff. And so I don't know, like, the bitterness in me, I just feel like, you know,
the timing is just off.
Well, timing off on everything. Like, I had a fleshlight. A lot of people don't know this. I did all my fleshlight molds. I went to Texas. They shot me here in LA. I went to Texas. They shot me 2 days. They did everything. I have two of my prototypes at my house, and then they never released it. And so I just had a lot of things in my career, like, just – I always say, like, I feel like I'm the girl who never belonged in this business.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like I'm always, like, not at the right time for things.
Yeah.
So that's – I mean, at least I've always been successful doing my own thing and knowing I had to rely on myself. But that's also why now I'm, you know, fans, like, tell me – I wish that you, you know, dye your hair back. I like it black. And it's like, I'm not here to look like what you want me to look like because I did that for so long and I had to appease everyone, you know, like.
And you still like didn't get. The
and I still didn't get all the things that I worked so hard for.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I was even banned from Penthouse for so long because at the time my husband worked with, you know, in the industry and stuff and behind the scenes. And, the owner of Penthouse at the time said, well, he didn't send him enough traffic. So I had no chance at making Pet of the Year that year.
Is this the person who I think it is,
yeah.
right? Yeah.
I can't stand him.
I also got blacklisted yeah. from
and as soon as
– but that was my fault because I got drunk and I went on the forums and I said that all their shit looked awful.
Well, see,
and
I didn't. And then I
actually – they called my mother. Okay, this is so embarrassing.
You got your mom called?
Yeah, I was like in my late 20s and my mom got a call from Penthouse basically saying like your daughter went on the forum and like talked all this shit. And so like – yeah, I was blacklisted for like 8-9 years.
Yeah, I was the whole.
But that was totally my fault.
No, see, for me it wasn't, and I, you know, showed up and did my jobs and mm-hmm. did my job and stuff. But you know, and then the frustrating thing was everyone at the magazine that I'm still friends with people who used to work there that don't work there anymore.
Yeah,
there were editors and stuff, and they all told me that he's the one who said that I was banned. And
yeah.
and I confronted him about it, and he actually lied to my face and yeah. told me he never said that.
Yeah,
and then once he sold the magazine. Because at Penthouse and Danny's, they owned Danny.com at the time, and I used to yeah. work for Danny's so much, I was banned from there too. And as soon as he sold the company, I got a phone call and they said, "We can book you again." And I literally did nothing wrong, like it was just stupid industry politics.
Yeah.
And so, that's why I'm just like a little bitter at certain things. Like, even now, I see girls who don't have as big of a name as me and they have fleshlights and stuff, and I'm like, why was mine never released? Like, you know, like just I spent all that time and didn't get paid for any of my time. I yeah. shot 3 days, three days, and didn't get paid anything for it because it was supposed to be per sales off of my fleshlights. And
they never gave you an explanation?
Nope. They just never released it. But like I said, I have two at my house. They're not textured on the inside, but I'm thinking about auctioning them off.
I mean, why not?
Because they have my signature on them and everything. They're literal. Like, I was there the same day that Jessica Drake. Like, she can vouch. Back me up and
yeah.
vouch. Like, we were there at the same time in Texas doing
yeah.
all of our stuff for it.
Yeah.
So, you know, it just – that's why, like, you know, a lot of people think, like, oh, this business is so great and, like, it's so glamorous and stuff. But there's a lot of stuff, like, I've just had to suck up and deal with that. It's
yeah.
not fair. Like, I didn't do anything for these things to be held against me, you know?
Yeah.
So
it must feel nice, then, to come into the industry now and know that, like, you can be your own boss and you really can create your own content and you don't have to be subject to any – brands flip-flop decisions or like some fucking owner who decided that your husband didn't send enough traffic.
Yeah.
You know, all the like these stupid arbitrary shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like you can control your own career. You can make your own content and
yeah.
you can make out well financially. It's just,
yeah.
And it's interesting too to see how brands treat performers differently now, I do have to say.
They do. And that's one thing I was
like,
going to say about the changes. Yeah. Is that, you know, girls now don't have to rely on shooting for companies.
Yeah.
And if it's not the amount of money they want to go to work for, they can turn it down because
yeah.
they don't need the money.
Yeah.
You know, so that's like me. Like, I'm not shooting for other companies because they don't need the money.
Yeah.
And so, you know, and fans even recently, they keep asking for me to shoot, like, Girlfriends Films and places, you know, that I was so known to shoot with. But for me, it's also, too, like, I'm very organized on set. You know me.
Yeah.
Like,
this is why we get along.
Yeah. Well. And so.
I love the fact that you had a planner and that you brought it and, like, you – I was actually, for some weird reason, I was thinking about this last night. I was like, organized people, like, that is, like, my favorite. I just love people who are organized.
Yeah.
Like, when people send, like, that's, you know what it was? It was because you sent me, like, a Dropbox link with, like, pictures of yourself. And I was just, like, when I book people for the podcast, a lot of times I don't get
yeah.
a lot of information. And, like, you sent me all the things I needed.
Yeah.
And I just, that just makes me happy.
Well, yeah. And, I mean, that's being professional, right?
Yeah.
So, but for me, like, it's nice not having to go to set and sit on set all day. I mean,
yeah.
there's been times where when I worked on features.
Oh, God.
I, like, one time I shot for Digital Playground, and I got there at 11 a.m., and I didn't start shooting until 11 p.m.
Yeah, Digital Playground shoots were notoriously long. Even when I shot for them, and I tried to be so, like, really good about that, and I really try to, like, organize scenes so that, like, people are there for the least amount of time and be time efficient, I still, like, dude, those days were nuts. They
yeah,
were so
and
long.
And the thing is, when I was younger, it's fine. But now, like, I try to explain to fans, like, I have a life outside of this. Like,
yeah.
I didn't come back to be full-time performer again.
Yeah.
So, you know, I shoot usually with Dean once a month. I've been storing content because I've always loved to be like years ahead on content.
Yes.
I actually have almost all my content shot for this year already.
Yes.
I shot this year's Christmas update last year. And so I have like tons of content stored.
Yeah.
And that's why now I'm focusing on my girl because I have a lot of solo just stored. Mm-hmm. It's already edited and in my Dropbox and waiting.
Yeah.
All different hair colors. Like I barely even shot with my rainbow hair now. But yeah, so I like the industry's changed in the sense that it's put, you know, the power into performers' hands. And then on the flip side, like you're saying, companies now knew that they had to step up and act differently or pay differently because, you know, girls aren't just like for me, like when I used to work for Playboy back in the day, they paid you shit. They would shoot like three sets of you in the day, pay you out almost absolutely nothing for it, run those in all different magazines all the time. Mm-hmm. You never got, you know, there's no royalties, residuals in this industry. And, but you don't turn it down because there were 100 girls behind you in line.
Yeah.
And you want the, you know, exposure and to have the title of being a Playboy model. Yeah. And so that's what I would tell people what it used to be like. And yeah. now, you know, I don't feel like it's like that. But then the industry's so saturated now. It's so yeah. easy for them. I mean, I just think the pandemic really, people being stuck at home and everything, you know, just OnlyFans blew up. And now everyone wants to be a performer. But I still laugh. Like I saw someone I've never seen. I've never heard of their name. And I've been in the industry for 20 years. And then at the top, it said like legend. And I was like, please. If I don't know your name, no.
I mean, it's all marketing,
like
right?
We've always said, like, people call themselves porn stars, but how yeah. many are actual, like, have star status, you
yeah.
know?
There's been an interesting, conversation, too, between, like, who – there was some issues with STD testing going around because there's porn stars, right? And what exactly does that mean? Does that mean that, like, you've shot for brands and yeah. you have, like, your name out there and all those big – sites, and then there's content creators, right? And those are people who have never shot for big brands. And then because people who grew up shooting for, you know, big companies knew about like the testing system. You could mm-hmm. test it every 2 weeks. You yep. do all this.
And we know how to take care of ourselves and we're careful in our personal
right.
lives.
And then you also have a producer who's there, like myself, who yeah. checks everybody's tests, make sure everybody's like legit before the scene even starts. So you have like a third party. And now mm-hmm. it's like, I guess people are shooting with each other and they're not testing they're not checking each other's tests. And so, you know, somebody who works for like the brands, like a porn star, I guess we'll call them, will work with a content creator. They won't like show each other's tests. I guess the one person assumes the other person has. The other person doesn't know about testing or whatever.
And then you have the problem that we've
get
had
it
lately.
From yeah. them, and then they go and they give it to the
everybody.
Porn star pool. So it's yeah. like – I've been watching a lot of this discussion on Twitter about like how to deal with that.
I've seen some too. And like I said, because I just started shooting Girl, when I even posted about like, mm-hmm. oh, who are some, you know, performers you want to see me work with? I had a lot of content creators like hitting me up.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's nothing like me being bougie or something. It's just that I need to make sure that my health and everything is fine and I have to trust the people I'm working with. So that's why I'm really only, and especially since I've been gone for so long, like I'm not out of like performers to work with. Like yeah. As soon as I started working again, like I'm already booked up with like girl shoots into like April. Mm-hmm. So, just cause of all like the ladies that, you know, I'm friends with and I haven't yeah. shot with in so long and yeah. we want to shoot together. So I'm trying not to do too many cause I can't release it all, you know, now.
Yeah.
I'm just,
yeah.
you know, storing content and stuff. So, but yeah, I don't know. Like it seems more risky to me right now because of all that stuff.
Yeah.
Like I never felt like there was such a problem
yeah.
in the business before because we were all so professional about it.
Yeah. And it was a small,
it was a small group, but like, that's why I said, like, it seems like there's so many now,
yeah.
especially with the way Twitter is with their like main feed. Now you get all these people you're not following, their yeah. tweets show up in your feed. And so I'm seeing all these people that I don't know who the hell they are, but I see their posts and things and I'm just like, wow, like you guys.
And the problem is too, is that like the pass system has like everyone's pulled out of the pass system. So the pass system, for those of you who don't know, is a system where you get tested at like a certain testing facility and your results are posted in the pass system. And if you have a login, like as a producer,
yeah.
I have a login, I put in someone's name, I can see if their test is clean or not.
Yeah, it just like, gives it a clear or not if
yeah.
like all their stuff's good. So
yeah.
and it still protects privacy because it doesn't show which – if someone does have caught an STV, STD, it doesn't say which one. Yeah.
yeah.
So, no, it was great. So that's why for me, I'm only shooting with people that like I personally know and
yeah.
that I'm comfortable with. Like I did my first scene back, of course, with my wifey who I was mm-hmm. with on this show last,
yes.
Brian Keeley. And then – which I'll be shooting with a lot because mm-hmm. we are good friends and we look good together. We're the same mm-hmm. height and everything, so we look good on camera together. I just shot with Siri Dahl. Mm-hmm. I shot with Aaliyah Love. Mm-hmm. And then I have shoots coming up with Nicole Aniston, with Julia Ann, with Tanya Tate, with Dana Vespoli. So I have a lot of good stuff on the way.
Yeah, yeah, those are all great girls.
Yeah, like I just want to work with my friends.
Yeah, exactly. And you know what? You're in a place now that you have the freedom to do that.
Yeah, and I feel like that. Like you... 20 years in the business, like that's a long time. I am in the Hall of Fame, which I was so mad that they didn't give it to me before I retired because I was like, oh, great.
What does it feel like to be in the Hall of Fame?
It was nice because I felt like for a long time I wouldn't get anything just because I know.
What's it like? Because I wouldn't know.
Well, start complaining to them. But I saw some girls.
Oh, I complain.
Yeah.
I don't complain to them. I bring it up sometimes on the show and I act bitter about it, but it's fine.
Well, I was a little bitter about it too because at first I thought they weren't going to give it to me because I only shot girl. Mm-hmm. Like I shoot boy girl, but it's just with my husband for all the content I own. We don't shoot together for companies or anything. It's not his, he has no desire to do that.
Yeah.
But we, I'm watching you do that, and like my ADD, I'm like, squirrel.
Sorry.
She's messing with her nails. I'm like,
I made a terrible error of putting fake press on nails this morning because my nails looked awful. And I like, there's glue everywhere. I put like, look, there's so much longer on this hand than this hand because I got it all. I'm a disaster. Sorry.
I do have ADHD, and I was like, squirrel. The older I've gotten, the worse it's gotten. So if I seem spacey, guys, that's why. I just thought, okay, I'm not going to get it because I'm not like a girl performer. We mm-hmm. don't get put in as many features and things. Yeah. So whatever, I get it. But then they put in someone who hadn't been in the business as long as me and did not have as many accolades as I had. And I was like, okay, what the hell? Mm-hmm. And I kind of took it personally too because like I've – presented awards at XBiz all the time, but AVN's never once asked me to present an award. Like I felt kind of shunned by them. So, but then of course, after I retire, I'm at my fitness studio, and because I still have my website up, my webmaster sends me a text and is just like, "Congratulations!" And I was literally about to teach a class, and I'm like, "What are you talking about?" And they're like, "Oh, you got in the Hall of Fame," and I was like, "Well, great. I'm not going to the show." So, and it took like 2 years for me to finally get my award. So I have it at home, but yeah, I mean, it's nice to be recognized, mm-hmm. but yeah, especially when you put, that's what I'm saying, like when you put that much time, because there, you know, there's not a lot of girls who last that long in the business.
This is true.
So.
Well, it's lovely to have you back. It's been so good to catch up. Yes. And can you tell everybody where they can find you online?
Yeah. So I have a new Twitter. Or I mean, I have a new Instagram. My Twitter is @JelenaJensen. I've had it forever. I have a new Instagram. It's @OfficialJelenaJensen. And be careful because I know I wanted to get into this, but we got off on all kinds
so
of tangents.
So many fucking and also so many yes. fucking technical
There's
issues.
There's been a lot of technical issues. But like, I'll have to come back on and we'll have a whole conversation about this.
We lost like an hour and I'm very sorry.
It's okay.
Because I know we have more to talk about. Yeah. I'm just like, fuck.
But – I'm one of the top used girls. I'm just going to make this really short. I'm one of the top used girls for catfishing, and I have been for years. And it's really – it's very bad. I shot 15 years of candid photos and, you know, webcam shows, and especially with how AI is now, like mm-hmm. they can make whatever they want online. Mm-hmm. And so guys just don't believe me when I tell them that they're not talking to me. Yeah. And so I have a lot of fake accounts, and Instagram will not take them down. So make sure you follow the right one because it's official Jelena Jensen without anything after it. One of the scammers put my same name with an underscore at the end, and because the name's so long, you can't see it when it shows up. So make sure it's the right account. Yeah. You'll be able to tell. Like I'm going to get more active on social media. I actually haven't because I was completely out of everything mm-hmm. for so long. And on the down low, I hate social media. I absolutely hate it. And I was so happy to be away from it. But yeah, find me on there. You'll be able to see all the new things that I have coming out and see all the hot girls I'm going to shoot with.
Yeah.
I know.
And you guys can find me at Holly Randall on Instagram and on Twitter. HollyRandall.com for my photo shoots that I do. And Patreon.com/HollyRandallUnfiltered to support the show. Thank you guys so much for joining us. Thank you so much for hanging out through all the technical issues. We're going to get this shit sorted out.
I'm the best person to have here on set because I went to film school and I know how tech works.
And you know how it works.
It's horrible.
So, yes, yes. Yet we very much need it in our lives. So
yeah.
Thank you guys so much for joining us and I'll see you next week. Thank you so much for listening. Your support means the world to me. A great way to show your love is to rate and review my show, and an easy way to do that is to go to ratethispodcast.com/HRU, and you'll be directed to the various podcast apps your device supports, and then led to where you can leave your review. And if you can afford to financially support this podcast, you can do so for as little as $5 a month at patreon.com/HollyRandallUnfiltered. This is where you'll get access to the live streams of my interviews, bonus Q&As with my guests, access to my fine art photography and behind the scenes of my shoots, free memberships to my not safe for work website, hollyrandall.com, merchandise such as stickers, mugs, and hoodies, and so much more. You can watch the video versions of these podcasts at my YouTube channel, youtube.com/hollyrandallunfiltered. Join us every Sunday evening for episode premieres where you can chat live with myself and other HRU fans as we watch the newest release together. You can also follow the show on Facebook, Snapchat, Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter. All of my social media links are at hollylinks.com.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.